name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to thank Pastor Mark and all the members here at the Chapel of the Cross for giving me this wonderful opportunity to share God's Word with you. I think before I share God's Word with you today, I'd like to take a moment to thank you so much for all your friendship and love and support we received from you during the past 4 or 5 years of our time here. Each one of you here at the Chapel of the Cross made us feel welcomed, loved, and appreciated. You always welcomed us with a warm, big smile, and we appreciate that very much. And your prayers and support really helped us to stand together as a family and to do what we were supposed to do here in the United States. As Pastor Mark has mentioned, I'll be finishing up my studies this May to graduate and to go back as a family to India to continue the teaching and evangelism ministry back in India. So, in fact, you have given us a lot of good memories, and we are taking back with us all those memories of good Christian love and charity which was showered towards us. So let me take a moment to say a big thank you on behalf of family and myself. So thank you so much for all that you meant to us, and for your partnership and your prayers. Talking about memories, in fact, my sermon today is also about memories. One of the creaturely gifts God has given us to enrich our lives in this world is to remember. Remembering carries much significance in our spiritual life too. In the Bible, we see God actively calls us to remember. Today, to help you remember my sermon on remembering, I outline my sermon with 3 W's of rememberings. What it means to remember, what we should remember, what's the purpose of remembering. Hope it will help you to keep that in your mind. First, let us see what it means to remember. Without getting into technical details, the word used in Hebrew and Greek together, it means few things. It means an active process of recalling, recollecting, noting down, recording, bringing past into future into our active memory, and keeping that memories live and vivid. It's an active process. And God knows that sometimes our memories are bad and it is short. And He knows that we need some reminders to trigger our memories. So in the Old Testament, we see God taking an initiative to institute a lot of reminders to help us to remember. Let me share with you two such reminders. The first one, obviously, are the festivals. And in the book of Numbers, we see that God has instituted several festivals to help His children remember. We know Passover is one of the main among them. And the Passover was a festival meant to help children of Israel remember their deliverance from Egypt. And along with festivals, we see God asking His people to set up memorial stones. We know after crossing of Jordan, God asked them to set up 12 stones, and Joshua does that, and that serves as a memorial. And these memorials were raised with an intention to provoke questions from future generation, with an intention to create unique teaching moments. And what is interesting to all these memorials were that all these were of multi-medium kind of nature. And it appeals to different senses, to all our senses. For example, in the festival of Passover, when people come together, they sing, they read scriptures, which appeal to ears, and also they will make some food with their hand, the unleavened bread, and they would eat, which would appeal to touch, taste, and also smell. So all these memorials, and for the 12 stones, we see it appeals to the eyes, to the visual. It is a visual medium. All these were created in such a way that it will tickle our senses to create memories and to relive the past, bring the past to now, to the present. Taking that clue from the Bible, we see our liturgical calendar. Church calendar is also made in a such profound and significant, rich way. Each season is meant to remind us about some aspect of God's love. And each season we use different songs, different meaningful liturgical colors, readings, particular rituals to that occasions. And for example, when we started our Ash Wednesday, we applied ash on our forehead to help us to remember God's call towards us for repentance and to prepare ourselves to remember Christ's suffering and death on the cross. Now, what it means to remember. Remember is an active process whereby God wants us to use maybe some of those elements or some of those mediums to trigger our memories, to take note of, pay undivided attention to, bring to our active memory things He wants us to remember and not to forget. Now, having said what it means to remember, let us briefly see what to remember. As a footnote, let me add that God does not want us to remember certain things also. For example, our sins, guilt, shame, or the failures which we had in the past, which was already forgiven and dealt with by God, and God has said, I will not remember them anymore. We don't need to go and dig all those up. And God does not expect us. And He wants us to forget that and move on. But He wants us to remember certain things which really matters. Let me share three things which God wants us to remember. Number one, God wants us to remember Him. In Deuteronomy, Moses writes, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. In other words, always keep Lord, your Creator and Redeemer, in your active memory. What does it mean? I think one way to look at it is, just like I use this glass to see the world better and more clearly, see the world, your life, the people in your life, the failures, joys in your life, through the Lord. Be conscious of His presence. Know that He is in control of your life, and He is in your life, and He is interested in your life. Know that we live in the presence of God, who is personal and loving, and He's with you. And the second thing God wants us to remember is His word. After giving children of Israel 10 commandments, God reminded them, those commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. God wants us to be lifelong learners and believers of His word. Paul in his epistles reminds us that learning alone makes us puffed up, arrogant. But believing God's word and doing it help us to grow in all godliness. God wants us to remember Him, His word. And the third thing He wants us to remember is His blessings and goodness towards us. David puts it very well. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all His benefits, which includes, he lists, forgiveness of sin, healing, the ways in which God has led us. This should not go away from our mind. We should pause, take some moment to reflect on these things, to bring that back to our memory. During this Lenten season, we remember the cross. And we know the story of the cross reminds us about God's love towards us. And we know that through the cross, our life is valued and loved, and a life worth the life suffering cruel death of Jesus on the cross. You may have heard the story about a saint who wanted to figure out how much God loved him. And he was kept on asking himself, how much God loves me? One day in his dream, Jesus appeared and he answered his question. He smiled at him and stretched forth his arm and showed his nail-pierced hands and wounded legs and chest and asked him to examine it closely. Then he said, this much I love you. I loved you so much that I gave my body to be crushed for you. And during this time of Lent, we meditate upon the life, the painful suffering, the agony, the torment, and the love of God on the cross, which won forgiveness of sin and eternal life for us. What to remember for? What's the purpose of remembering? Bible makes it clear that call to remember is not just a mental exercise. It is a call which should lead us to some definite action. This leads us to my final question. What is the purpose of remembering? In Bible we see that our remembering should lead us to at least two things. In the Old Testament, festivals and memorials were created so that their remembrance results in praise, thanksgiving, and worship. In Gospels, we read a story about 10 lepers who came to the Lord for healing. When they saw Jesus, they cried out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And Jesus told them, go and show yourself to the priest. And we know from the story that on their way back, they got healed. And they all realized that they got healed and they registered that in their memory. But one of them, one person went one step ahead. He remembered God has healed him. He registered that in his memory. But he said to himself, see, I'm healed. I got a new body. I got new life, new hope, new orientation in life. Now I must go back to Jesus and thank him for what he has done for me. And he turned back, Bible says, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And then Jesus said, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to them, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Just take note of these words from Jesus to this person. It is significant. First, Jesus said, rise and go your way. Jesus is giving him a blessing, a benediction. Jesus gives him a benediction and sends him home. And second, Jesus notes that you are now not only healed, but your faith which brought you to me has made you well or full or complete. You are restored fully. The other 9 were healed physically, but unfortunately they were not restored spiritually. They ran away with their new body, with their new strength, new life, to their own things, without caring enough to come back to the fountain of their blessing. What makes our life whole then is to pause and to come back continually to the source and fountain of our life, to offer him praise, thanksgiving, and worship. Martin Luther said, the only proper response from us towards the manifold blessings in our lives is to offer praise, thanksgiving, and worship. Finally, our memories and memorials should provide teaching moments to pass God's word and his deeds to one another and future generations. Bible says, these commandments I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them upon your children. The word impress here could mean teach passionately, diligently, in such a way that children, others are moved by it and don't want to ignore it and obey and put their trust in the Lord. This leads me to share a few things about CRC. CRC is a ministry committed to do exactly this. Chapel of the Cross has been a big partner with CRC Ministries in India. The CRC Ministries goal is to take gospel through different means like preaching, teaching, storytelling, puppets, dramas, skits, magic shows. We work with 2 full-time missionaries and more than 100 volunteers to take this gospel of Jesus Christ to others in India. And at this time, I want to thank you for the long-standing partnership we have with you. Today we heard that remembering means actively bringing and keeping our memories alive. But what would happen, but what if we reach a situation and time in our life where our memory, ability to remember fails? Maybe it's a medical condition, or it is an age-related thing, or even our death where we lose all our ability to remember. Will we lose the Lord and His love and His relationship towards us? It's a hard question. But the Lord reminds us, His love towards us is not dependent upon our ability to remember Him, but His promise, but only on His promise and ability to remember us. And today, as we celebrate Lord's Supper, He renews His promise He made to us in baptism, that He would remember the promise He made to us in the baptism to raise our bodies from the dead, to be with Him in heaven, to partake that heavenly feast with Him, with all of the saints. And while we were in this earth, He promises us, even if your ability to remember fails you, or even if your mother forgets you, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on my palms, and you are ever in my memory. You are ever before me. That is the source of our security, and that is the good news. May God bless us. Amen.